The Week in Review with Declan Ralph, for stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
90.3, this is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph and welcome along to The Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I'll take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories that you usually hear about, and instead I'll feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. I'll feature stories too about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield. And of course, we'll have the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, well, you can contact me at any time now during the show. The text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. You can also email weekinreview@near.ie, and you'll get me on Twitter at nearfm, at Declan Ralph, hashtag weekinreview. Well, good afternoon, Ken.
Isn't it lovely out again?
It's a great day,
great weekend.
Isn't it? Yeah. Hi, Sarah.
Hey Declan, how are things? Yep, we're glad to share the sunshine from the sunny southeast. Absolutely.
You're very good. I was in the sunny southeast this week on Wednesday, and it lashed rain all day, I have to tell you. Yeah. So.
Well, I was actually in Cork myself, and it was lovely there.
So, well, you brought the sunshine with you and left none for me in the southeast. That's what
packed
it was.
In the bag. That's it, yeah.
Well, today is a special show for all of us. It's the last one before we take our summer break. So we'll start at the moment, as usual, with the stories from Ken. We're going to bring the events a little bit forward. We normally do those about one, but Sarah will do the events immediately after Ken does the stories. And then what we've done is we've picked out our favourite interview from the last few months to replay for you. So we're going to do all of that. Coming up shortly on the local stories with Ken, do you want to be paid to paint a town? CEO Mick Handley retires from Dublin City FM radio. A local Coolock student wins a major award. The Red Sox hit it out of the park in Portmarnock. And let the weather be with you, Ken. I don't know what that's about, but I'm sure you'll tell us very, very shortly. And also then, we're going to look with Sarah, as I said, at the local events taking place over the next few days. Then after that, Sarah has picked out a chat that she had recently in April, actually, with Linda Devlin of Dublin City Council's Culture Company. And then also from April, Ken, which I didn't realise that there was a lot happened in April, but yep, obviously there it did. Ken has picked out a chat that he had with the festival director of the New Music Dublin Festival, John Harris. That'll be just after one, around about a quarter past one then from May. I chat with IBEX Sharon Higgins about the TY Talks initiative that they undertook during lockdown. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. So Ken, Sarah's still with us as well. Hi Sarah, how are you? You're still there?
Hi Declan.
How's the strawberries?
I'm eating away in them here, yeah.
Munching away at the strawberries. Very good.
That's it.
Feel free, Sarah, to chip in if you disagree with any of Ken's puns or anything like that on the stories. But Ken, the first one you have is, do you want to be paid to paint the town?
Indeed, this is a nice little one. So this project seeks to improve and animate the general appearance of five sites around Dublin, making them more welcoming, while also supporting street artists to make them highly visible for their work in the cities. So the artists are encouraged to be creative as possible. The theme for the proposed artworks is open, but they do seek to engage all ages and abilities. So there's five sites around Dublin. You need to get your proposals in by the 5th of July. So on the north side, there's Dorset Street. So as you go down Trimconda, you go over Little Binns Bridge, and the building right there in front of you, it's St. Vincent's charity shop at the minute. But the side of that, there's one on Portia Street, one on Bow Street. And what they're saying is, when you're putting your proposal in, you know, because they're all elevated, if you need to hire a scaffolding or a crane, make sure you include your costs.
Excellent. So there, you can put everything in there so that you're not out of pocket by doing it.
Yep.
Brilliant. Excellent. Okay, now I suppose a sister or a fellow radio station or wherever here in Dublin is Dublin City FM Radio, and their longtime CEO Mick Handley has pulled down the mic for the last time.
I got to interact with him on a few occasions myself, so you know, I know he's very good at this. So he did start as a volunteer with the station. He worked in radio for decades, and it wasn't long before his passion and enthusiasm was recognised and heard by audience and colleagues alike. So he went beyond becoming director of Dublin City FM, then serving his time as chair of the board, before he eventually became the radio station CEO in 2008. So Chris Maher is a well-seasoned individual who's been in the radio community for a number of years as well. And he's been appointed to fill the shoes of Mick at 103 FM. So good luck to the two of those. And I say, I did interact with Mick. I did, you know, public talks when I was in the Carmichael Centre with him. And you might remember he was the Dublin City FM were the media sponsors when we did the Good Governance Awards.
That's right. Yeah.
So again, yeah. He's done a lot of good stuff for us. And, you know, so thank you very much. I know it's near FM, but, you know, we do appreciate wherever it comes from.
Absolutely.
No now, competition here with the community radio stations. Yeah,
no, no, no.
Met him once, advised them. Yeah, big shoes to fill, but nice to pay credit to him, I suppose.
Yeah, I've met Chris Maher myself, Chris Maher, and he'll be up for the job. Well up for
Excellent,
it. No,
yep.
No better man. Yeah. Now, local Coolock student wins a major award, Ken.
So congratulations to Chloe Kennedy. She's a Coolock native and she's a graduate of the Northside Partnerships Challenger Programme. And she was announced as the winner of the Dr. Lorcan O'Hobon Excellence in Education Award this week. She was presented with the award by the late Dr. O'Hobon's wife, Anne Morris, at the Challenger graduation. So Chloe is a first-year student at Bannu College now, and she's studying Irish and law. And she was a Challenger student from 2014 to 2020. And she says, Challenger was an integral part of my secondary school education, and without it, I don't believe I would be where I am now. So the award is present on having completed the Challenger programme and showing good attendance over the previous 7 years, achieved a high leaving certificate points tally, attended the first year in college and displayed characteristics that would make them a role model in the years to come. So the Northside Partnership celebrated the graduation of 20 students this year. So if you're in, you know, going into first or second year now and you want to be mentioned 7 years from now on the Week in Review, time to get involved with the Challenger programme.
That's
find out more details, head over to the Northside Partnership for that.
Very good. Now, the Red Sox, more probably associated with the US of A, but they've hit it out of the park in Portmarnock.
Well, indeed, I used to play baseball, softball, but I used to play a little bit of baseball, so, you know, this is a bit of a personal one for myself. So, the Red Sox baseball celebrated their opening day last Sunday in Portmarnock, marking the improvements made in collaboration with Fingal County Council and Baseball Ireland to include the club's field, including a backstop and a mound, which are really, really important when you're playing softball or baseball. So John Dillon, who's the chair of the Red Sox baseball, welcomed the councillor from Fine Gael, Brian McDonough, from Fingal County Council, Sean Mitchell, I know, who's treasurer of Baseball Ireland, to officially open the field. They played lots of games. Lots of people came along from the Portmarnock Sports and Leisure Centre. They played 6 games against Ashbourne. There was over 80 players involved from the club, ages from 5 to 50. I think I've seen the pictures. I think some of them are possibly over 50. I know them. They're over 50.
No secrets, Ken. No secrets. Let the weather be with you. Well, hopefully the weather will be with us and it'll all be good for the next couple of months now while we're on our summer holidays.
Well, this is they're hoping to get 100 schools involved across Fingal to do this. So the Deputy Mayor of Fingal, Councillor Robert O'Donoghue, launched the initiative yesterday at the Rusk and Lusk Educate Together School when he presented the third class with their first rain gauge. So with the council plans to distribute 100 rain gauges to primary schools across the country in time for the start of a new school in September. And they're hoping that 7 schools will actually put mobile or weather stations in. So, you know, when we hear during the week, you know, the hottest place in Dublin was the Phoenix Park.
Yeah.
Well, if you put one in these, your school, you know, as you go forward, it could be the hottest place was your school.
Was your school, indeed it was. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. So, Sarah, the first event you have for us today is a return to live theatre with One Good Turn. So, a real, actual event.
A real life actual event. And look, yeah, great news to be able to kind of chat about this, I suppose, after the last year or longer that we've had a chance to return back to the theatre. I know people have missed their in-person events, and this is a brand new play. It's been performed at the Abbey Theatre all this week, finishing up today. So a very welcome sign. It seems to have gone well so far, and hopefully a sign of things to come in the future that can be done safely and enjoyably for everybody. One Good Turn is a play which is written by Una McKevitt. It's directed by Emma Jordan, and it presents the story of a family on the brink who are keeping the show on the road any way they can. And I think we've all done a little bit of that over the last while, but it's a life-affirming comic exploration into the ups and downs of family bonds, and it's being performed live on the stage of Ireland's National Theatre until this evening. So the performance is today at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. so check that out quickly if it's of interest, of course. There are in-person tickets available, but the production is also going to be live streamed online at those times as well for anyone who might prefer to enjoy it at home. So maybe something that we've kind of gleaned from the last while is, you know, that there's multiple ways of enjoying things and whatever it is that works for you. They also have on-demand tickets, so you can purchase an on-demand ticket and look back at the production until the 10th of July. And all the information on that is on the What's On tab at abbeytheatre.ie.
Brilliant. Yeah, great to see some live events coming back as well. And that sort of hybrid, I think, will probably be a feature of many events in the future, where it'll be part streamed and part live, or the opportunity at least to stream and have a look in will be there. Now, Sarah, the next one, you have a question. How do you plan on spending July now that you've nothing to do and no radio to do?
This is a slightly ambitious one, maybe, but yeah, I kind of tentatively set a target of 100k myself every month of the year back in January, and my June target is slipping slightly now. I think that we've got different things back happening again. So Women's Aid are calling on us all now to set an 80-kilometre target for the month of July, which is hopefully maybe a little bit more achievable, but important too. I'm sure it's a month in which there's going to be lots of things happening and people getting out and about a bit more. But, you know, you can kind of mark that, I suppose, as well, by doing a bit of good for a charity which is working locally and across Ireland to stop domestic violence and protect women and children. Women's Aid are calling on us all to set ourselves a target of walking 80 kilometres over the 31 days of July, and then creating our own Facebook fundraising page to support their work. So that's all quite nice and straightforward. The Women's Aid helpline is, of course, the only free national domestic violence helpline in Ireland, and it has specialised trained staff who provide support and information to women experiencing abuse. The organisation also offers a one-to-one support service in areas of Dublin, including Coolock and Ballymun and across the north side of the city, so close to Near FM there, that hinterland, and they have a court accompaniment service as well. So they do a lot of important work, I suppose, like a lot of organisations, and speaking from Childline's perspective as well, you know, there was a lot of focus on fundraising last year, but still very much needed, and that obviously keeps those services afloat. And whatever way you can walk your 80 kilometres or dog it or run it, you will be helping to make a difference. So if you want to get details on that, if you just search Women's Aid and walk 80k in July, you should be able to find all the details there.
Brilliant. Now, we're going to hear, first of all, the interview, Sarah, that you've picked out. And would you give us a little 30 seconds on why you picked this out and tell us what it is?
Yeah, this is my test from April with Linda Devlin of the Dublin City Council Culture Company. And look, I guess they were one of the organisations really around Dublin that kind of, you know, pulled out all the stops, I suppose, is the cliche, but found new, innovative and inventive and creative ways to make sure that people were kind of included and brought together and were able to enjoy things and have something maybe to look forward to as well at a time, you know, when we were staying at home and when a lot of things couldn't happen. They really made a lot of things happen. So it was great to have a chat with Linda back in April, and I'd look forward to hopefully chatting with her again over the next little while, and maybe see what they have on for the autumn series season. But yeah, just to take a listen back to that now, that was Linda Devlin with the Dublin City Council Culture Company.
And here it is.
Thanks so much, Linda, for joining us on the show today. Really excited to hear a little bit more about Dublin City Council Culture Company. I guess a good place to start, maybe, if you wouldn't mind, just tell me a little bit about what the company does and what it was kind of set up to do.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. So Dublin City Council Culture Company, we run cultural buildings and cultural initiatives across the city. And this was their by and of the people of Dublin and the people who call Dublin home. So two of the buildings that we run, which your listeners might be familiar with, one is 14 Henrietta Street in Dublin 1. And that's a museum of social history spanning 300 years from George and Dublin to tenement life. And we also run Richmond Barracks in Inchicore in Dublin 8. And Inchicore is a building of, again, hugely historical significance, but we co-locate there. Inchicore Library is temporarily there. We have a beautiful garden. And just it's a really lovely space, and we run cultural programmes from there. And we have lots lots of cultural initiatives. I think we're going to talk about a few of those today. But for the full range of things that we do, you can go to Dublin City Council Culture Company.ie.
Sure, yeah. And those initiatives, like, there's a really wide range of projects that you're involved with, as well as running those buildings. So, like, can you tell us a little bit more about what kind of opportunities are there at the moment for people to engage with culture?
Sure, yeah. So the National Neighbourhood is one thing that we have at the moment, which has an open call out for people to take part. So the National Neighbourhood is a way that we bring people together kind of from across the city. You know, prior to COVID, I suppose it would have been very much neighbourhood focused, you know, in geographic areas where you'd be working with groups of people who all, you know, kind of live in a particular area. And sometimes it would be other communities of interest, but it really had quite a geographic focus. Obviously, since COVID, we've been doing the National Neighbourhood online. Now it's much more, you know, just people coming together from across the city, all in the one group, which has actually turned out to be like just a really beautiful thing. You know, you get so we do this open call, people sign up, and these particular projects we're doing at the moment, they usually run for 10 to 12 weeks, once a week, and they'd have maybe 25 people or so who, for the most part, have never met before. And they come into the project, and we pair the group with the grouping, we're kind of calling them, it's a new group of people, and we pair them with an artist. And then we partner on the National Neighbourhood with lots of different cultural partners. So, for example, all our national cultural institutions that people would be some people might be familiar with, such as the Abbey Theatre, the National Concert Hall, the Irish Museum of Modern Art, the National Archives, the National Library, the National Museum, the Ulane Gallery, but also libraries, a really important partner of ours, and the local area offices in Dublin City Council as well, and the Arts Office as well. So there's a lot of people kind of in the same room. It's really lovely to kind of have the input from all those partners and be able to introduce people to the different ways that culture happens. So, because some people, they think, you know, culture is not for them, or that culture is this kind of big kind of idea that maybe you know, that happens only on red carpets, or, you know, in buildings that they feel aren't really for them or of them. But actually, you know, culture happens in all shapes and forms and guises all across neighborhoods. So really it's just connecting, helping people to connect to each other and connect into culture.
It's just that idea kind of what culture is, I suppose, and how it's accessible to the broadest group of people, you know, because that's something, I guess, that's important to yourselves, that lots of people can access and can get involved.
Exactly. Yeah. At the moment, the National Neighbourhood is open to anyone really who calls Dublin home, anyone age 18 and over. And we get a lovely mix of people, and everyone's coming from kind of different backgrounds with different kind of cultural experiences behind them.
And what kind of work have you been able to do through the programme then over the last few months? What kind of engagements have been happening online?
So we've had at this stage probably about 170 people take part in that. So they've all taken part for about 12 weeks. And the types of things people are saying is that it gives them an introduction to all the different kind of places that culture happens. So just for example, the program might look like, you know, 1 week you could be having a session with the National Archives. So we'll have somebody in from the archives to introduce what the archives is, where it is, how you would visit there when we're allowed to go and visit places in person again. But then what resources they have online as well. And it's just really a kind of general introduction. But then depending on the group, groups kind of, the artist in with the group as well helps the group to reflect on what they're learning in that particular session. And one thing, say, that might come up from, that has come up in the past with a session around the archives, is the idea of a personal archive that people have as well, you know, and what do we record as a society? What do we say? This is the thing that has to be that should be archived. So there's loads of kind of things, though, that branch out from each session. There could be another session we use a method called VTS, which is Visual Thinking Strategies. So our partners at the lab, part of Dublin City Arts Office, use visual thinking strategies, and it's really so they might present a number of paintings to the group, and it's really for anyone who thinks they don't know how to look at a painting, or, you know, thinks that they don't know.
I'm putting up my hand there.
Yeah, that you need to have some, you know, prerequisite knowledge that, you know, in order to look at a painting. And visual thinking strategy is just a really lovely equalizing kind of space where you're just really asking people, what do you see in it? And everyone kind of sees something different, and it generates a kind of really lovely, rich discussion for people. And helps people to kind of feel a bit more comfortable about saying what they think they say when they look at a piece of art. So, yeah, there's something different every week, you know, as I said, with each of our partners. So we could be doing a session with libraries 1 week, a visual art session the next week, a session with the Abbey Theatre. They've been presenting some of the work that was made as part of their Dare Ireland series as well. So just lots of really kind of rich conversations come up. And then at the end of the 12 weeks, what we hope we try to do with people is to find a way for them to continue the kind of the strongest connections that they've made past those 12 weeks. So whether that's that they, you know, want to do another program with us, or just that they have developed a new relationship with some of the cultural places that they kind of struck the biggest chord with them. Yeah. So at the moment we're trying to amalgamate two groups that have already done the 12 weeks previously, who are interested in the idea around the archive within us all. So we're looking at doing a sort of making and doing project for a number of months with those people. So yeah, what comes out of it is kind of different for everybody, but the initial 12 weeks is really just a way kind of in the door, you know, a way of coming together.
Yeah. It sounds really interesting. I think that idea of what people would archive at the moment, maybe, you know, compared to, I think we're all thinking and we're all living a little bit more intensely, maybe, and a bit more within ourselves than previously, you know. But and is that something that the National Neighbourhood will continue on then? Is there like new opportunities for people to get involved in that, or?
Yeah, so we have another 10-week project starting on the 22nd of April, which is a Thursday. So that will be every Thursday from 11 to 12:15 for 10 weeks. So if you want to get, anyone wants to stick their name down for that or have a chat to us, it's neighbourhood@DublinCityCouncilCultureCompany.ie. So that's the email address. And you can also call us on 01524-0367. And you can chat to one of the team and they can fill you in and help you to sign up.
That's fantastic. We definitely encourage people to go and check that out. I think, you know, we're mindful, like, obviously there's still quite a few people who maybe aren't, you know, in work at the moment, or they might have a bit of extra time, or the broadest range of people possible. You know, it's a gateway into the world of culture in Dublin, as you say. And like, what are your kind of hopes for the rest of the year then? I suppose I'm conscious, like, we could probably talk for an hour about all the cultural opportunities in Dublin and what things are going to be like as they recover, but just over the kind of months ahead, how do you see them playing out for you?
I suppose everyone's thinking on this. I mean, one thing I say is that actually the online way that we've found to continue the programs that we were already doing, you know, and to grow our programs has been really surprising in what it's thrown up. So we've actually managed in most cases to widen the participation, being able to offer things online. Of course, you know, in most cases, people, you know, for all they might love participating online, everyone, you know, generally feels, it is better when you can come and meet in person. However, in saying that, we also have had people who wouldn't have been able to participate if we were doing it in a bricks and mortar building. So we have people maybe with accessibility challenges. We have people who have joined during their lunch breaks from work, and a lot of very nice bosses who've given people maybe, you know, a slightly longer lunch break so that they can actually come and join in and connect to other people, which I think is really important at the moment. So our online offers have been just very successful. People have felt they're really a lifeline. And as I said, it's widened participation in most cases. Of course, on, you know, having access to a device and having access to Wi-Fi is something that could potentially be a barrier for people and tech skills. But we also launched a digital pilot scheme as well. So we do have some capacity there to help people to access a tablet and to access Wi-Fi if that's an issue as well. So we'd encourage people always to get in touch with us around that.
There is so much there, Linda. Like, I think you've given people a great taste of some of the cultural opportunities that are there in Dublin. I'd absolutely love to have another chat again, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, and see, you know, what's happening, what can people get involved with for the summer. But for now, you know, some of those opportunities that you've mentioned, the National Neighbourhood Culture Connects, the Zoom events that you have going on, where is the best place for people to go to find out more about those?
So Dublin City Council culturecompany.ie is where you can find information on all our programmes and buildings. And for Culture Connect specifically, the most direct way is to go to richmondbarracks.ie, and you'll find there all of our events and workshops that we have going on at the moment. And when we are allowed, we will have outdoor walking tours again. But yeah, richmondbarracks.ie, and you can call also 01582 0077.
Thanks, Emil. Thanks for
having me, Sarah. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks.
And thanks again, Sarah. I hope you enjoyed listening back to that.
Yeah, it was great to hear Linda again, and exciting to think about, you know, the new possibilities that are in store now. I know she mentioned getting back towards kind of some of those walking tours, and some of those things we're starting to see come back on stream now. So definitely worth having a look there and checking it out.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks a million for that. So today we're listening back to some of our favourites over the last few months, some of our favourite interviews. This is our last programme before our summer break. We'll be back on the 4th of September. You can mark that in your diary. Ken, we're going to take a short break now, but after that we're going to come back and hear your chat with the Festival Director of the New Music Dublin Festival, John Harris. Tell us why you picked that one.
I thought it was an interesting idea of new music. They deliberately make new music for this festival. And you don't know whether it's going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
And it's just that excitement of, you know, getting together and doing it, and then how you do it in the middle of a pandemic.
Absolutely. So we're going to hear that directly after this break. And also a little bit later then, about 1:15, we listen back to a chat I had with IBEC Sharon Higgins about the TY Talks initiative that they undertook during lockdown. So all of that to come on The Week in Review.
90.3. This is Near FM.
This is Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, and I'm with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, and welcome back to The Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you'd like us to feature on the programme, you can contact us on text, that's text 087-694-4500, or email weekinreview@near.ie. So, here's a question for you. So how do we make music together when we can't come together to make music? And especially, how do you make new music in the middle of a pandemic? New Music Dublin, Ireland's foremost contemporary music festival, has the answer. And to tell me all about it, I'm now joined by their festival director, John Harris. So good afternoon, John. How are you? And welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm fine, actually. So, those are very familiar words you just quoted, actually, because if I remember correctly, I remember asking that question in the on the website of New Music Dublin this year.
So, I mean, just for myself, you know, foremost contemporary music festival. So you might as well explain to me foremost and contemporary music.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, contemporary music is kind of as the word says. So it means music of now. And we have a quite broad, I suppose, a very, very kind of broad attitude towards our programming. So contemporary doesn't just mean what most people might associate it with it, which is very kind of esoteric art music. It's much more the idea of anything that people are creating now, really.
Yeah.
This is at the edge of something. So, for instance, it's exploring the kind of the edges of music, not necessarily very experimentally, but it's really literally the music that people are making now. And a lot of that at the moment is in response to the pandemic. I've been doing a whole series of composer interviews right now that at the start of every single concert that we're putting online. And it's quite unusual to find a piece that isn't influenced by what's been happening to everybody for the past year or so. So it's all very, very relevant. And foremost, I guess it's probably because we're the largest contemporary music festival in Ireland. So we are partners with the National Concert Hall and with RTE and with the Contemporary Music Centre in Dublin as well. And actually, so probably because we're the largest accumulation of contemporary music that's taking place in Ireland at the moment over one weekend. So I hope that explains.
Indeed, because I mean, I would see myself as a rock child, if I can call it that, you know, and that would be my most music consumption. But I do listen to a little bit of classical music, and I even have a little playlist of, you know, what I would call contemporary modern. You know, by people like Max Richter, Henry Goreski, Michael Nyman, Philip Glass, Carl Jenkins. But that's actually old stuff compared to what you're actually planning for the coming festival.
Well, everything is pretty much brand new. I mean, I would go so far to say that some of it is possibly still being written.
Okay. As we go on.
Max Richter and co are still modern. He's still writing. Actually, all the people you mentioned, apart from, I think, Henrik Goreski, are actually still writing. They belong to a kind of very sort of minimalist kind of strand, I would suggest, of things where basically this idea of repeating something became very kind of prevalent in the 1960s, 1970s from America, and then kind of came over to an awful lot of other forms of music as well. But if you listen to, say, for instance, Natasha Polberg's piece for the RTE Concert Orchestra on Saturday night, which is interesting because that was all recorded individually by all the orchestra members in their homes and then mixed, and we actually have a live animator. Well, he's doing the animation live, but it's pre-recorded, so there's some visuals that go alongside it. That piece actually belongs to that whole strand of contemporary music, the kind of Henrik Goreski, Max Richter. She's a film composer, actually, by trade, but not by training. So there are things within the program that belong to all of that. Maybe the other end of the spectrum, we have the Sunday morning program, which is by a group called Kirkos. Sebastian Adams is a composer who's been curating that. Yeah. And that's a set of works, pieces, basically for people to do in their own homes by themselves. So on the website, you'll find, say, instructions to do a certain thing, which is just you performing a piece, or to listen to this piece whilst you're doing some particular mundane task in your house. So it's got everything that goes from orchestral work all the way through to these, I suggest, in some ways quite experimental but entertaining pieces that are just for one person to do by themselves in the privacy of their own home. So yeah, it covers the whole gamut, I would say.
And we were just saying that, and just in terms of that, you did run an event
today.
Was aimed at children. It's called the Totally Made Up Distant Orchestra Workshop, and that went out on the 17th, which was just a little bit before the show today at 11 o'clock.
Yes, absolutely. The Totally Made Up Orchestra is a fixture within New Music Dublin. My very first one back in 2018, in fact, it was programmed in the one that got snowed off. I don't know if you remember The Beast from the East in 2018, which carried the first festival away. We redid it in the Defrosted Festival, which took place in September straight after that. It is literally that. It's totally made up. The criteria for membership of the orchestra are you can be any age, you can have any music ability, and you can play any instrument. And it really is a group of people who come together with Brian Irvine to create a show on the day. You come with no material either. That's also all found on the day and made on the day. So he makes a show in 2 hours. Normally it's done live. This time around, Brian's thinking very, very hard about what could happen over Zoom. And I suspect that what he's doing, certainly talking to him yesterday about it, is that what he's going to do is play with the whole Zoom thing. We're absolutely, it's the ubiquitous Zoom, really. And what happens when you try to create music over Zoom is very, very hard. So he is making things that are as visual as they are audible, I suspect. But the thing is, I don't know. It will go out on the Sunday, and it is literally people who have come together for 2 hours with all manner of it to make some new piece. It's a kind of thing of wonder. It really is, I suppose, kind of a demonstration that anybody can be part of this. It's not a kind of, you know, highfalutin elitist pursuit. This is kind of music for everybody. The thing is that we present so much stuff that actually there will be something within all of this that you that you will find interesting or attractive. I can almost guarantee it. As an old rocker, actually, well, I wouldn't say an old rocker, as a rocker or previous rocker, Barry O'Halpin's piece on the Saturday night for Crash, he came to contemporary, he's an electric guitarist, and he's written a piece for electric guitar and ensemble. And he came to contemporary music through rock. I mean, he actually was a rock musician before he began writing pieces. So, you know, it's like people come at it from whichever direction they want to, really.
Indeed. And I say that, you know, as you say, I mean, a little bit more, my classical repertoire is not extensive by any sense of the imagination. I'm probably one of those people, you know, if you're born with problems with classical music, you start off with Beethoven or go to Mozart. But this is taking it, and I thought the bit that you said at the very start was, this is new music and this is on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And obviously just you're saying people are using the, you know, the current environment to create music. And actually just we were talking to Leagues O'Toole last week, And obviously, just we see the Crosh Ensemble sort of is a little bit between yourselves and them for in terms of Music Town. So, and what are they getting up to?
Crash, they are doing well. So this, as you can imagine, putting together a festival in the middle of the pandemic has been kind of intermittently hilarious and also horrendous. And I mean, I've lost count of the number of times I've reprogrammed this festival over and over again. Crash are amazing partners in this festival because they will kind of go with us wherever to go. So one of the things is I'm very keen that nothing is longer than like 45 minutes to an hour long in terms of gig, because I can't stand sitting in front of my computer for that long watching stuff. It drives me absolutely potty. And having so many things compressed into one weekend, you know, I don't want people to have to sit there for kind of 5 hours and turn all absolutely kind of goggle-eyed and wondering where they are. So so Crash has split their concert up into four. And they have, and that's made of various bits. One of them is, one of the strands is they do this thing with us called Free State, which is a series for emerging composers. And we have, I think, five emerging composers who have been working with Crash, their mentor composer, to create new works for the ensemble. They'll be performed. There's also a series of films which are being premiered, which are little response films by commission from other composers just in response, back in last summer, just in response to the pandemic, something that Crash was doing with their solo works, really small works, really for Crash performers to play. And then we have Barry O'Halpin, who's the guitarist, who's actually guitarist with Crash, but he's also composed a resonance with Crash. He's created a piece called Wingform, which is an entire night's worth of stuff. And then the actual final concert of the festival is Crash's own thing, which is they've given it the title Granulated Frequencies, which I'm still trying to work out what that actually means. But it's two pieces, one by Becca Sims called Metamold. Now, she's a Canadian composer, but she's just a massive prize winner, and part of the prize is performed by Crash. And then we actually finish off with a work by the DJ L, otherwise known as Ellen King, who's created an ensemble work for Crash as well, but that's very heavily influenced by her own kind of electronic and dance clubbing background. I mean, she's based in Berlin these days. So it's even within the Crash program, it's extremely varied. So, you know, they're producing their usual kind of almost kind of mini festival of their own within a festival, really.
Well, thanks very much for telling us about that. And I hope you've whetted a lot of people's appetite for that. But just obviously, just in terms of it, you know, and we use this word a lot on this program, and a lot of the stuff is actually free.
Not only a lot of stuff, it's all free.
It's all free. That's
so, yeah, it's partly because, and we are incredibly lucky to be partnering with RTE. So we work with their orchestras and also their radio stations and online. And they, but this means, of course, they don't charge for output. So everything is carried, or you know, a lot of it's carried by them. So yeah, we don't charge. So it's all free to view or listen. And it's all available on the website, www.newmusicdublin.ie. If you just go, so the website is the concert hall, basically. Yeah. So if you just go into the event, there should be, at the appropriate time, assuming everything works technically, there should be the video of the work, or in, say, the case of the Sunday morning one in particular, where we have Sebastian Adams and Kirkos's collection of things. There are instructions on the website as to what to do. Some of the stuff is downloadable. Some of it you simply do there. Some of it you take away and do things with. And with almost everything, there's little interview videos at the very start as well between me and some of the composers featured, talking about, you know, what they do, why they do it, how they do it. So for people who feel a little bit like, I don't know if it's me or not, you get the chance to see who has actually written this stuff and why and what it feels like. And then also, I mean, what's brilliant, I think, about online is, I mean, I'm always a great fan of, if people don't like it, they don't have to listen to it. You know, there's no, it's not, you know, you must do this for your life improvement kind of a thing. If you don't like it, you can listen to it for 5 minutes and then just come back to the next thing. It's not like having to walk out of a concert. You know what I mean? No one's going to see you if you just going to go make a cup of tea halfway through. So, and we can chat if you're watching on YouTube. You can join the chat alongside it on YouTube and ask questions about the thing as it's happening, which is another thing I'm doing in, like, you know,
in the concert hall. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. I really am looking interested. You know, I'll click in myself just before we wrap up. Just very quickly, could you just remind me of the website address to get all the information on
website address? It's New Music Dublin, all one word, .ie. It's all there. And then you can, it's got all the events by date, or it's got it all by, there's a kind of, you can either get it from the menu bar at the top, or you can kind of flick through and see everything. So just take a look through and see what you fancy. You can even set your alarm on YouTube to remind you that you're actually supposed to be watching something right now. So, yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Really appreciate it.
That's great. Thank you very much indeed, Ken.
Bye.
Well, Ken, that was from April. Did you enjoy listening back to that?
I did, yeah. That was obviously just a couple of interesting points like John was making there at the end. You know, we were actually talking about ourselves just off air that, you know, we so much more we can do on Zoom.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're saying if you don't like the middle of it, you can go off and make a cup of tea.
Exactly.
But you do have the advantage, you know, that when they're finished, yeah, you can type in a question.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the interaction's gone up, and it's not like being an event where you sit there and clap at the end and walk out.
You have to be really quiet. And as he said, if you don't like it, just walk out.
That's, I mean, it, yeah.
Imagine walking out of the concert hall if you didn't like something.
Well, that's, you can't do that.
No. No,
at least everybody will look at you.
Well, we're having a special programme today. This is our last programme before our summer break, and we're taking the summer off, and we're going to go off on our holidays. And there will be some special programmes, some special music programmes at this time over the course of the summer, so do stay tuned for that on Near FM. I'm going to pick my favourite interview from the last couple of months now. It was one last month only. It was early last month. I thought it was longer away, but it wasn't. And it was when I spoke to Sharon Higgins from IBEC, and we spoke about the TY Talks initiative that they undertook, which was all about trying to include people in TY. It's been a difficult year for them over the course of lockdown. So let's hear about the initiative that IBEC undertook and my chat with Sharon Higgins. Just like our own, young people's lives too have been turned upside down in the past year. There have been huge changes to how we work, socialise and live our day-to-day lives. For those who are in transition year today and looking to their career ahead, what does the future have in store for them? A selection of some of the most intriguing and inspiring speakers from across Ireland and beyond gathered this week to share their insights, tips and experience with transition year students. The TY Talks event, hosted by IBEC, was designed to inspire and motivate students for the future of work. And I'm delighted now to be joined by IBEC Director of Membership and Sectors, Sharon Higgins, to tell me more.
Hi, very well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me along.
Not at all, you're very welcome. I suppose the first question is, what was this all about?
I suppose it started off as an idea and quickly gained momentum. We very much felt within IBEC that it has been a tough year for many people, and we're very conscious that over time, obviously, students will look to the world of work and get an opportunity during transition year in particular to experience different parts of that. And this year, that's been very difficult. And I know this person because I actually have a transition year in my house. So I was very conscious of that and thinking about what we in IBEC could do to support them in that environment. So I spoke with our CEO, Danny McCoy, and then, you know, we discussed it and said, OK, this is something that we can do as IBEC. And I then went to the NAPD, the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals in Ireland, and had a conversation with them. And that's where the idea came from. So we said, yeah, let's do something for the TYs this year. Let's do something to show them a bit about the world of work and about their futures and do something exciting and interesting for them.
Yeah, interesting. So the inspiration came from home, really? Yeah?
I suppose it did, yeah. Ultimately, and I've always been interested in education. We've got a lot of education in IBEC at all times. So it was a really good fit for us. We have within IBEC, we have 38 trade associations, we have education and policy groups. So we are very interested in this area. So the two together, the inspiration, but also the ability to deliver on it, I suppose, came from within the house and then within the broader IBEC community.
Great. Yeah, fantastic. So I presume it took place online, like everything else nowadays?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we were really conscious that there are 45,000 transition year students in Ireland, and we wanted to do something that could reach out to them. Now, we've worked with online platforms for some time, even before COVID would have hit. We would have had some experience of it, and we've been working a lot with online platforms. We have a lot of experience with them, but we'd never worked with the potential for that type of number of people joining us. So yeah, it was an online platform, and we invited all 45,000 through their schools. So it was done in a school environment to join us. And so on the day, on the virtual platform, I think we had about 17,000 people registered on the day, which was phenomenal. And it is still open, so those schools are still accessing that now, and we'll be able to for another 90 days on that platform. Okay. So on it, there's quite a range of things, I suppose, which is important, Declan, that it wasn't just an event with speakers, even though the speakers were phenomenal. But we put a huge amount of work into putting industry booths together, putting educational booths in place to give people lots of information and fact sheets and short videos. Again, we were very conscious of our audience, but we did a huge amount to provide information as well as these talks that were there on the day.
Yeah, it was an incredible idea, and it sounds like it was really well executed and put together. So, I mean, you mentioned some speakers there. Give us a feel for some of the people that were involved in terms of speakers and maybe some of the topics that were discussed.
Yeah, certainly. So I suppose it's hard to pick a few when there was so many good speakers, but maybe to call out, we had Barry Winkless, who is the CSO of CPL and head of the Future of Work Institute with them. So Barry came along and talked to them about the fact that they are the designers of their future. So we all are, but, you know, for that TY year, that they are the designers of their future. And he talked about, you know, frameworks and how they can go about developing their own future by looking at what they love, looking at what they're good at, but also looking at what pays and what the world needs and trying to bring all of that together. So that was a really interesting piece. And also he was very much calling out to them to, you know, start your journey. Don't be afraid of the journey. So he was fantastic. We had Caroline Healy from Medtronic and also Mike Beery from Amazon or AWS Ireland. And they talked about their experiences as very big employers and what they see in the future and the need for collaboration and for, you know, people to understand the world of digital and to work in that way. So they were super. I think Mike Beery had the most interesting title in his past. He said that one of his earlier jobs in life was he was the HR director for the Muppets when he worked in Walt Disney. So he was super. We had Nora Toomey from Cartoon Saloon, I should say, and Nora will be well known to many people because they were the people behind Wolfstarter, which again is a huge success story. And also Fiona Edwards-Murphy from Apis Project, which is a company that that Fiona developed from her PhD project, which looks at tracking bees. So she's a phenomenal story there as well. And across all of those companies and the feedback there from them was, you know, follow your dreams, you know, but remember life is, you have a long journey ahead of you and it's a constant learning education and one that you should embrace and enjoy and don't be afraid of things and start things and you know, set yourselves huge goals, which were phenomenal. We also then had an education pathways piece where we brought in a number of really, really phenomenal young people who were still on their education pathway because we wanted to bring it closer to the students so that they would hear from people who have just gone through this quite recently. And of all of our speakers, what our big question was, what would you tell your TY self? So that was always brilliant to hear at the end. So we had Courtney McGrath, maybe to call Courtney out. She's in TCD at the moment, but she talked a lot about diversity and inclusion. And Courtney was phenomenal and gave some really, really good insights, you know, talking about the fact that everyone has the right to go to college and nobody should have imposter syndrome. Now, Courtney is profoundly deaf and, you know, she was a phenomenal speaker. It was just amazing to hear from her and such an inspiration. And again, another, you know, number of phenomenal student speakers as well. At the end of the day, then we had two, again, I can't speak enough for these speakers, but we had the Chief of Staff, Vice Admiral Mark Mellett for the Defence Forces in Ireland. And he came down and talked about values and leadership and growth as well, which was brilliant. And then last but not least, to end the day, we had Dr. Happiness himself. So we had the most amazing author from the UK zoom into us, which was the value of a virtual event. And he talked to us about the idea of the seven everyday Olympic sports that we should all look to every day, like turning up on time, working hard, good manners, and et cetera. And all of those together will really lead to success. But finally, he talked about the importance of hugs. So huge, unbelievable, great goals and how you can, you know, break those down into smaller chunks and eventually get to where you want to go to. So he was fantastic as well. So hopefully that gave a flavor of all of the speakers.
It's fantastic. A really great lineup there. Very diverse, as you said, lots of different backgrounds, lots of different experience. And Dr. Happiness, the title of his presentation was The Art of Being a Brilliant Teenager. Did he give away the secret?
Yeah, I think it was around, you know, finding your direction, but knowing that that can change, you know, really setting yourself huge goals. And I think those seven Olympics, everyday Olympic sports were so important because they're basic. But if you, his piece was, if you do all of those really well, you will be hugely successful. And they're simple things. But as I said, he said to break down your huge, unbelievably great goals into small, unbelievably great goals. So your Olympic sports, everyday Olympic sports fall into those categories. And they're the basis behind everything. If you really work hard, do your best, be positive, help your friends, you know, really basic things. Yeah. They are the undercurrent for everything. So and he was really interesting because he was saying that so for so long, doctors have studied sick people, but he wanted to study people who were actually very happy and to see what made them happy. And so he was absolutely brilliant and certainly gave us all a lift at the end of the day.
Excellent. Yes. Like the Olympic runner. It starts with one small step, doesn't it? Really?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly,
so
yeah.
I'm interested in any quick little interesting insights. You mentioned there a moment ago about what people would say to their TY self. Any interesting snippets for there from anybody?
Yeah, I mean, well, the theme was I think the same throughout. And it was really interesting that no matter where they were, whether they were still students, whether they were, you know, in senior business, in businesses themselves at the moment, or even from Jazz and Laura from Spin, who were the MCs on the day, it was, you know, be kind to yourself, work hard, you know, have your goals, don't be led by other people, I think was really important, you know, set out your own goal, but realize that life is, as somebody said, like a bowl of spaghetti. It's not a straight line. And, and you know, find your way through that and be kind to yourself.
Great. Yeah. Great advice. A good way maybe to finish up our chat as well, Sharon. You mentioned at the start that you might have hit on something here. Do you think it's something you will definitely do again?
Well, certainly the platform is live at the moment and all of the schools that registered, we wanted to do it through the school system. It was important for us to do that. So all of those schools have access to all of that material for the next 90 days. One of the things that we're encouraging actually is that the students and their parents will have a look at this platform at home because there's an awful lot in it. It was way too much to get through on one day. So encouraging everyone to do that. Any schools that didn't sign up, we are still, you know, we will allow them to register on the website. And then we'll see what happens. I think we put a huge amount of work into this. It was a massive piece of work. The feedback has been phenomenal. And we all said we'll sit back maybe in a month's time, see where it takes us. But certainly there's a lot of people asking for us to keep moving like this and seeing the benefit of an organization like IBEC working so closely with the school community and how productive and effective that was.
Excellent. Thanks a million to Sharon Higgins there. Sharon is the IBEC Director of Membership and Sectors. Thanks a million for that.
Excellent. Thanks, Declan.
We're all going on a summer holiday. No more working for a week or two. Fun.
Well, that's it for this week, for the Week in Review. And in fact, as we've been saying throughout the show, this is the last one until September. And as the song says, we're all going on our summer holidays. Thanks a million to Ken and Sarah for all their support and their work right throughout the whole series, right since last September, in fact. And thanks a million for their work this week and all their input today, too, on the programme. And don't forget, if you have an item you'd like me to feature on the programme, you can contact me still anytime to weekinreview@near.ie, or you'll get me on Twitter @nearfm, @DeclanRalph, #weekinreview. So from all of us, we'll be back on September the 4th, Saturday, the 4th of September. We'll see you then. So for now, from me, Declan Ralph, see you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.